Emergency warning systems are on all our minds this week, and people all over Hawaii have been asking about the ways federal and state agencies communicate with one another in fast-breaking events like last Saturday's nuclear missile warning. To get some answers, my co-host Catherine Cruz spoke with Brandy Richard, a spokeswoman for the Region 9 Federal Emergency Management Office, FEMA. They spoke about a wireless alert system known by the acronym IPAWS, which stands for Integrated Public Alert Warning System.
What can you share with us? Can you give us like a 101 on this wireless alert system?
The IPAWS system gives alerting authorities a single interface to send emergency information to radio and television as emergency alert system broadcasts. It also works on cellular phones as well as wireless emergency alert text and other communications media. And the IPAWS system itself is a FEMA product that is created to support nationally for states and locals to be able to send these messages across. We typically don't issue alerts. Rather, IPAWS enables authorized federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial officials to send those. And we just provide the infrastructure, if you will, for them to be able to do that.
So these aren't really texts then? They just go over our wireless phone system? Is that correct?
They can be text. It depends on how you are engaged with the system or the information that the locals or states have to be able to push the information across to a text or to just your phone, kind of like an Amber Alert. It depends on what you're allowing on your device and what you've tied into as far as your local or state communications are concerned.
Well,
for instance, in my city, I may have access to sign up for alerts from local government, or all of the alerts may be sent on that automatic system. But if I've opted out on my phone or if I've turned off those Amber Alert type messages on my phone, then I don't have access to it.
Okay, and that's an important point because we were hearing a lot from families that, my wife got it, I didn't, or vice versa, and it's the same wireless company, wireless carrier, and it really all depends on how you've configured your phone.
Absolutely, and it's personal preference, but I know in Region 9, we encourage individuals to sign up for local alerts, for state alerts, to download our FEMA app. There are lots of different ways that you can get information. And so it's really important when a crisis hits to be able to get as much information as possible. But sometimes it's annoying if you receive an alert that, you know, interrupts your sleep or something like that, and then maybe you turn the system off for your phone. So we really encourage individuals within their cities and within their states and counties to avail themselves of whatever alerts are being pushed through those governments.
Okay, so that's a really important point for the general public. Given we had the situation on Saturday, check your phones, figure out if you've got that alert on so you can get important messages about disasters or whatever.
You can get an emergency alert system broadcast to your cellular phone, a wireless emergency alert text message, or other ways of communication. I know for me, I want to make sure that I'm tied into everything, so I would encourage your listeners to go out to their cell phone company and just make sure that they've set up the ability to receive the alerts that come automatically over your phone, regardless of if you have text alerts or something like that set up or not.
Okay, so there's the Amber Alert, there's the emergency alert that you might get from the city and county or the state. And isn't there a presidential alert?
So any alerts that come through utilize the same system, but the issue is on your device, are you able to receive the information? So when you talk about the different alerts, like if the president were to request that an alert was sent out across the IPAWS system, how someone accesses it maybe through that same type of Amber Alert where it just takes over your phone and you hear this loud that lets you know that there's an Amber Alert And it's regardless of if you're on the phone, as long as your phone is on and receiving a connection, you would receive that alert regardless of which type of an alert it is.
Okay.
And so the important thing is that you have that enabled on your device.
All right. Yeah, I know we do get occasional alerts about flash floods, weather alerts, that kind of a thing, you know, depending on where that alert comes from, what county you're in here. If you could talk a little about the flow of information between the feds and the state, how does that work?
So we do not hit the button that sends an alert out. What we do is have the infrastructure in place so that if a local or state government official wants to send an alert, they can do so. And so there isn't like a check and balance for those alerts between us at the federal level and individuals at the local and state level. We've just provided the infrastructure in order to be able to send alerts out.
Okay. But I would imagine in a situation like we had with the missile false alarm, people are saying, well, it would be the military that would get the first heads up that something was amiss and then would transmit that information down to the state and the counties.
At the end of the day, the most important part is that the people who are closest to the incident, whatever that incident is, and a nuclear incident is definitely different, so there is military involvement there, but the people who are closest to the incident have the ability to be able to send out a message. Now, beyond that, we want that to be in place. Like, we want people who are closest to an incident that happens to be able to send out an alert to all of the people near them to say, this is going on and we need you to take action. That's part of what your local and state leaders are there to do. And so because this didn't come from a military source, I think the most important reminder for people to know is that it's a good thing that you will get an alert that lets you know if something happens. We're just going to make sure that we're all signed up and we're able to receive them so that we can get them.
Right. And there are multiple investigations ongoing now as a result of this mistake. And we hope to straighten out the protocols. I know one thing that's frustrating just as a cell phone user is these upgrades that happen. And sometimes you upgrade and you're going, oh, wait a minute, I have to relearn my phone again. I was under the impression that I didn't get the second alert canceling, you know, the first alert that it was a false alarm. And my son showed me this morning on my phone, no, Mom, you've got to swipe up and then you can see all your old alerts. And it was like, oh, okay. So it's challenging when you get an upgrade and you're starting from scratch again almost.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's just a part of our preparedness as individuals and as families to take it seriously. I think this incident allowed us to shine a light on the fact that these alerts are there, what their purpose is, their importance, and ensure that more of us make sure that we know how to work our phones and know how to access the information and also know that it's important to sign up for these alerts because the world that we live in, I mean, over 2017, we had so many natural disasters across the country. There are just things that you would need to be updated on very, very quickly and making sure that you can navigate this wonderful technology that many of us spend quite a bit of money to put in our pockets and carry around.
That's right.
Just to provide that type of support and assistance for you and your family to keep you safe, I think, is just really important.
Brandy Richard is a FEMA spokesperson for the Region 9 office, which includes Hawaii. All this week, we've been asking you to share your experience during last Saturday's false alarm, and here's some of what we heard.
My name is Shane Barlow. I'm from Kailua, Oahu. And when I got the message, I was 12 nautical miles offshore on Penguin Tank fishing. I got the message within 2 minutes. Fortunately, I had reception. My first thought was how much fuel I had to be able to run the Molokai and how much drinking water I had. And then, of course, the sorrowful thought that I might be witnessing something tragic. And just trying to assess the best decision forward to not only be safe for myself, but then possibly with my boat return to Oahu and provide as much assistance as I could to people that would need it. Fortunately, the Coast Guard did make a radio call within 20 minutes to inform that it was a false call. Hello.
Hello, this is Pearl Johnson. I live at Pohainani in Kaneohe, a senior retirement home. On the day of the false alarm, I was in another room for my phone, but I heard the beeping from my phone. And when I got back to it, I saw the alarm. But I saw that it was 7 minutes old and that there were no sirens going, nobody running around. So I went down to breakfast. I think that without the sirens and a whole lot of commotion, I thought there was no need to be alarmed. Bye.
Oh, hi, this is Greg Colbert calling from Kailua. At the time of the alert, we were just arriving at a popular breakfast spot, and what we found were that people were leaving the restaurant, but some of the people leaving were actually just upset and leaving with food still on the table and in some cases bills unpaid. Ultimately, though, because this is Hawaii, it was reassuring that as people understood that it was a false alarm, people were trickling back in to pay unpaid bills and apologize and often sat down, reordered, and had breakfast that morning.
You can hear other listeners' calls during Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And if you'd like to tell us about your experience with the erroneous missile alert or anything else, you can call our talkback line at 808-792-8217. This is The Conversation on HPR.